Shabbat Shalom. Another week, and welcome to all those that are here this week in our living room that's getting bigger by the week as we get more and more brethren that are joining us for our Erev Shabbat Bible study. So I hope you had a good week, and we will start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your blessed throne, and thank you, Father, for another week of life. We thank you for protecting us in a world of darkness. And we thank you, Father, for always looking out for your remnant congregation. We pray, Father, for protection for the days ahead. And we pray your spirit to guide and lead us as we study your word to understand what's going to happen here in these end times that we are living in. We pray your kingdom to the earth as is in heaven. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem always. And we pray for those, Father, in your congregation that need your prayers this day. We give you all praise and honor and glory, and thank you for the great sacrifice of sending your Son to pay the penalty of our sins. And in his name, Yeshua Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah. Alrighty. Big news week going on here. So I have a lot of news to get into, and then we will finish chapter 7 of Ezekiel. And this will be the last Bible study for several weeks, as I will be leaving here shortly for the big elders conference that we're having in Africa. Here's one off the press from just a couple of days ago. It says, U.S. four-star general warns of war with China in 2025. So here we are in 23 already, and he's saying within 2 years that the U.S. is going to be actually in a war with China. This is a four-star general. Would say the United States would fight within the next 2 years. And he says he hopes he's wrong, but my gut tells me that it's coming. The next article here is, I don't know if you've been watching in the news, but a lot of, let's say, unrest that's been happening in Israel here in the last week. Starting with a terror attack last Friday at a Jewish synagogue. I have an article in here. I'm going to read a little bit about that. And then Israel, after that, carrying out a drone attack on the Iranian defense facility in Iran, which is very rare for them to be able to do that and get a drone over there. It says, the strike comes while talks between Jerusalem and Washington are aimed at finding new ways to counter Tehran's nuclear program. Israel was behind a Saturday night drone attack that struck a defense facility in the Iranian city of Isfahan. The Wall Street Journal cited U.S. officials and people familiar with the matter to say Jerusalem directed the strike. Iran has been selling Shahed 136 drones to Russia for its use in the nearly year-long war in Ukraine. The kamikaze drones have been deployed to attack Ukrainian civilian sites and critical infrastructure. And this drone actually attacked the facility that was made. The Israeli drone attacked the facility that is making the Iranian drones. And here it says, third Palestinian Antifada scene launched with two Jerusalem shootings within days. Seven Israelis were murdered. Israeli intelligence bodies are struggling to get a handle on these lone killers who are hard to identify and predict. And it says the first Antifada that happened, it lasted 3 to 5 years, and it was called the Unified Command. The second one was called the Knife Antifada, and it lasted for 1 year, September from 2015 to 2016, and says the third one now is known as the Antifada of the Guns. So you never know with these things. They could peter out, or they could get legs to them, but it's, you know, living in Israel all for so many years, we know it's an ugly situation when these things come up. And every time you go out, you got to worry about an attack. And I know back in the early 2000s when they were bombing buses, it seemed like at least every week, sometimes it was even two or three times a week. We were living in Jerusalem at the time. And just, you know, we'd be in the bookstore and you'd hear on the radio another attack, another, and we'd listen where it happened. And we came very close to being near a few of those attacks when that happened. So we need to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem, the things going on here. It says in last Friday night, seven Israelis were shot at point blank range outside their synagogue. That was just outside Jerusalem. And three badly hurt before the killer was shot by the police. And the problem is a lot of these lone wolf gunmen, just like we're seeing in the United States, where this happens almost every week now in the U.S., which is amazing. Because 20 years ago when this was happening in Israel, you weren't seeing any of this kind of stuff happening in America. It was just the beginning of the school shootings here and there, one or two. But now in America, there's a shooting every time you turn around. And boy, I could just hope and pray that this isn't what's going to happen over there in Israel. Another subject here, German government bombshell. Alarming number of vaccinated are developing AIDS. So the German government has admitted that an alarming number of vaccinated people are developing the AIDS-like symptoms. According to new data released by German authorities, Germany has experienced over 102,000 excess deaths in 2022, a 276% increase in excess deaths recorded from the year 2020. So they're admitting the data suggested that most of the individuals who have been fully vaccinated would develop full-blown vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency syndrome by the end of the year, which means they have no immune system anymore. That's what AIDS is. It's where you can get a cold and die because you have no immune system to fight it off. And I said this when I saw the technology, the reports, when the vaccine first came out, and they said that the vaccine is directing your body to kill your T cells, your killer T cells in your body, which kills all viruses and diseases for you. And without that, you have nothing to fight these things. It says, furthermore, the data confirmed that the immune system of the fully vaccinated had already degraded to an average of minus 87%. That means vaccinated people have a immune system of only 12% immune system. And that's why when the new COVID comes out, variants, they wind up, it's the vaccinated that wind up getting it. So out of, let's see here, they did this information from Omicron, and there were roughly 8,200 cases in a certain area, I guess it was. And of that, only 186 of those 8,200 cases were unvaccinated. 2,883 were double vaccinated. 1,137 were triple vaccinated. And 4,020, half, were fully vaccinated. So it's roughly 70 to 80% of the people or more are vaccinated. Actually, yeah, even 87%, close to 90% would be. And it shows here, it's just showing charts on this. Therefore, at the beginning of January, fully vaccinated Germans had an 87.7% lower immune response than the unvaccinated had to Omicron. This means that the average German was down to his last 12.3% of his or her immune system for fighting certain classes of viruses and certain cancers. And it says there's panic among the German government, of course, because they're forcing it on the people, and yet they still continue to do it. So they give more statistics here about this, and I think I will stop there. Next article says, Taiwan activates defenses in response to China's incursions. And it looked very close this week that China was taking over Taiwan. They were attacking it. Just 2 days ago, actually. Taiwan scrambled fighter jets, put its navy on high alert and activated missile systems in response to nearby operations of 34 Chinese military aircraft and 9 warships that are part of Beijing's strategy to unsettle and intimidate the self-governing island's democracy. The large-scale Chinese deployment comes as Beijing increases preparations for a potential blockade or outright attack on Taiwan that has stirred major concerns among military leaders in the U.S., Taiwan's key ally. So we were just actually in Taiwan a couple weeks ago when we were coming from Thailand, and it's a pretty crowded place, just a small island. And unfortunately, they got a bad situation there now with, there's no doubt China is going to try to take it back over. It's just a matter of when this is going to happen and what's the response is going to be. And it says, now Russia steps into Israel's shadow war on Iran. So Israel and Iran have been going back and forth here for a long time. Israel has been attacking Iran convoys in Syria for several years. And now that they're starting to actually attack things in Iran, we're going to see Iran's response here in an article in a second. But it says Russia is stepping up because Russia basically controls all the airspace in Syria. So that's where they have their navy out of there. And it could be big problems for Israel if Russia gets more involved there, which it says they're possibly planning on doing. And here it just came out yesterday. Iran officially blames Israel for drone attack on defense site, vows to retaliate. In a letter to the United Nations, Iran accuses Jerusalem of terrorism and sabotage, says it reserves the right to respond resolutely to any threats by the Israeli regime. So now they, a lot of times, for whatever reason, when these attacks are happening near Syria, neither Israel says they did it, and Iran stays quiet on it, even though there's people being killed. But here now, Iran is coming out, they're blaming Israel. Israel is not denying that they did it, and Iran is saying that they're going to retaliate against them. And the problem with Iran is it's not necessarily meaning you're going to have bombs in Tel Aviv, although they threatened that. Many times they do terrorist attacks, attack Israeli embassies around the country or Israeli tourists or citizens. This is Iran has for the first time officially blamed Israel for a drone strike on a key defense facility in the city of Isfahan. Filing a complaint with the United Nations Security Council about the terrorist attack launched by the Jewish state and saying it reserves its legitimate and inherent right to retaliate. So we will see in the coming days and weeks ahead what will happen here with this. The letter calls on the UN to condemn Israel's warmongering statements and acts of terrorism. It also says Iran reserves its legitimate and inherent right to defend national security and respond resolutely to any threat by Israeli regime wherever and whenever deemed necessary. On Monday, the Khan public broadcaster reported that the Israeli security establishment was bracing for a retaliatory strike by Iran. In addition to retaliatory attacks against targets inside Israel, the security establishment was readying for the possibility that the Islamic Republic would take aim at Israeli tourists, officials, embassies abroad, or Israeli-owned shipping tankers. Again, in the Middle East, when these things heat up, you just never know where they're going for. And the big thing is also that Iran controls Hezbollah. Hezbollah is basically a proxy for Iran. So if things really heat up there and fighting starts, then Israel has a big problem as Hezbollah, right on their northern border. We've been on that border many, many times. We've seen the Hezbollah facilities right on the other side, positions. And they have over 140,000 missiles and at least probably 30,000 very heavy precision missiles that would do a lot of damage in Israel. So we will see. Here it says, North Korea says U.S. drills threaten to turn the region into critical war zone. North Korea said on Thursday that drills by the United States and its allies have reached an extreme red line and threaten to turn the peninsula into a huge war arsenal and a more critical war zone. The foreign ministry statement carried by state news agency KCNA said Pyongyang was not interested in dialogue as long as Washington pursues hostile policies. The military and political situation in the Korean Peninsula and in the region has reached an extreme red line due to the reckless military confrontational maneuvers and hostile acts of the U.S. and its vassal forces, an unnamed ministry spokesman for North Korea said in a statement. So another area to watch there. Here it's in, it says, we talked about the last time about the United States and Germany sending tanks to Ukraine, which is a real big red line for Russia. And Russia's been threatening, if they do, to retaliate against them. And here, just came out yesterday, Russian President Vladimir Putin has said that he would respond not only with armored vehicles to those who sent tanks to the borders of the Russian Federation, but also boasted of Russia's many military capabilities, including its top nuclear arsenal. And I mentioned about the ship that Russia sent into the Atlantic Ocean there with their, you know, very, very fast nuclear missiles that they have. It says, we do not send our tanks to their borders, but we have something to respond with. And the matter will not end with the use of armored vehicles. Everyone should understand that. He's talking about using nuclear capabilities. And this is interesting, that just also came up in the last day or so. We talked about China buying up a lot of American farmland. Why on earth the Americans would allow China, their worst enemy, to buy all their best farmland. Who knows? Well, because they're trying to destroy the country. But here it says, Chinese corn mill in North Dakota deemed significant threat by the U.S. Air Force. The construction of a Chinese-owned corn mill in North Dakota will likely be halted after the U.S. Air Force flagged it as a significant threat to national security. So, you might think, well, why would Chinese building a corn mill be such a threat? Let's listen. Although city officials initially supported the mill's construction in the hopes of generating jobs and tax revenue, Mayor Brandon Bochensky issued a statement on Tuesday asserting that he proposed the mill should be stopped. Republican Senators John Hoeven and Kevin Cramer shared a letter from the Air Force which states that the proposed project presents a significant threat to national security with both near and long-term risks of significant impact to our operations in the area. And a joint statement released on Wednesday, the project said together they're going to work together to find an American company to develop the project instead. And where is it here? It says that this cornfield is only a couple of miles away from one of the top bases, military bases of the U.S. military. So that's one of the reasons. Yeah, although the Air Force did not specify which threat, it might be used for spying on China. That China would use it for spying on the U.S. The corn mill was proposed to be built just a few miles away from the Grand Forks Air Force Base, which is home to the U.S. intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance units, including its top secret drone technology. So actually, they don't even have to go through all that problem. All they have to do is ask Joe Biden, and they could probably get any secrets that they would want. Okay, here's another one. Large Chinese recognizance balloon spotted over the U.S. This just happened today. A massive spy balloon, believed to be from China, was seen above Montana and is being tracked as it flies across the continental United States, with President Joe Biden, for now, deciding against military options because of the risk of, to civilians, I'm sure. So whatever that balloon, which is probably taking pictures of everything and watching everything, and they're just pretty much letting it happen. The balloon was seen over Montana on Wednesday. A military aircraft spotted in the sky above Billings, where U.S. Air Force F-22s are stored. Here's another article from Fox News on human trafficking victim recounts horror of life at the mercy of criminals. And it's just, it's utterly shocking to see how bad the human trafficking cartels, how it is in the world today. Even worse than drugs. It's the number one thing that is trafficked in the world today. And I'm not going to read this article right now, but wow. It's horrific to see it. And Israel is also having problems now with Hamas in the last couple of days. Israel bombs Hamas sites in retaliatory Gaza strike. Rocket sirens sound in Sderot, which is right on the border there. We've been there. We've actually seen, they call it the Rocket Museum, which is actually outside a police station there in Sderot. And it's not really a museum. It's just parts of all those rockets that Hamas has used to shoot at Israel. And the amazing part is, Israel gives them thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to Gaza in pipes for piping and putting in sewers and all these things. And they use them to make bombs and attack Israel with. So we've seen this firsthand ourselves. And I think this is the last one I'll go into that actually will deal with a little bit of what we're going into here in Ezekiel, the 7th chapter. And maybe what I'll do is I will read verse 19. We left off in verse 18. And then when I read verse 19, I want to read this article here because I believe it connects with it. Ezekiel chapter 7 in verse 19 says, "They will throw their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be an impure thing. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of Yahweh. They shall not satisfy their soul, and they shall not fill their bowels, for their iniquity has become a stumbling block for them." So what we were saying last week is, this definitely is the wrath of Yahweh on the earth. We see verse 2 of Ezekiel 7. "And it happened, the word of Yahweh was to me, saying, 'And you, son of man, so says Adonai Yahweh, to the ground of Israel, an end is come on the four corners of the earth.'" So there's no doubt that this is the day of Yahweh. Verse 7, "The encirclement has come on you, O dwellers of the earth, the time has come." So we see, like I was saying last week, that this is a time now that Yahweh is just, the sins have reached up to the heaven, and it's time for him to intervene. And this is what it's saying, that the silver and the gold will not be able to deliver them during the day of the wrath of Yahweh. The other reason for that is, well, let me just go into a couple of scriptures here first and show that, interesting enough, if we read our note there, our study note, it says, "Since almost time immemorial, gold and silver has been the most secure means of exchange. However, in the end, as war, famine, and pestilence will be ramped, even gold will not be able to save them from famine." So, again, from time immemorial, we see it from 2,000-3,000 years ago in the Bible, that gold and silver were always the means of exchange. And when it says they will throw their silver, the word in Hebrew is kesef, which literally means money. It doesn't necessarily just mean silver, it means money. Actually in Israel today, that's the word they use for kish, is kesef. You know, so they'll say take kesef and credit card, you know, whatever, because kesef means cash. So they're throwing their silver and their gold in the streets because of the wrath of the day of Yahweh. Zephaniah 1 and verse 18. Says, their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of Yahweh, but all the earth shall be consumed by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make a complete, yea, a speedy end of all those living on the earth. So again, this is what I said, that this is something that anything you thought you've seen up to this point is nothing, because we're talking about during the wrath of Yahweh on the earth of 95 up to 98% of the world ceasing to exist at that time. And money is, and it's interesting because when you look at commercial Babylon, everything in the world today is about money. It doesn't matter where you live in the world, even though in the third world, in India and China, in these places, most of the people may be poor, everything is still centered around money. And even in Africa, in the third world, you see people that are extremely poor, and everybody seems to have one of those iPhones because a lot of times they're given out by the UN and they want them to have them for tracking purposes or whatever. And I'm sure they'll be more than happy to give them the chip that'll be coming soon also for that. Isaiah 2 and verse 20. Isaiah 2 and verse 20. It says, in that day a man shall throw his silver and his golden idols, which they made for him to worship, to the hole of the burrower, meaning a mole, and to bats. So meaning they'll be throwing them in the holes of the ground where the rats and the animals are, because it will have no value. And, you know, this actually goes back to the 1970s, because I mentioned it before, in the 1970s, that Richard Nixon, who was the president of the United States at that time, that's when they started the petrodollar. And this is what caused hyperinflation, because up to then, dollars could only be printed by having something to back it up in the central bank, gold, silver. A matter of fact, and I don't know if I still have it somewhere, I had at one time, the US money used to be silver certificates. And I remember, I don't know if it's from the 1950s or 40s or whenever it was for, but I had a $5 bill that said it was a silver certificate. And I think there was actually silver in the paper some way. But that's the way it was. And in the 1970s, Richard Nixon stopped that. And to print more money, it caused hyperinflation like anything. But in return for doing that, they started the petrodollar system, where Saudi Arabia, which is the biggest producer, and the head of OPEC, that people could only buy oil around the world in U.S. dollars. So that would keep the dollar from collapsing, because if you're just printing dollars from nothing, it's going to collapse. But it was forcing people around the world. And now that system, like I said, is pretty much over. Saudi Arabia announced last month that they would be taking other currencies now, beside dollars. It didn't get such in the news as big as it should have gotten, but you will see it when it comes. And like it talks about Babylon, it'll be a thing like overnight, just the money collapsing from there. But this is one of the reasons why they're throwing the gold and the silver in the streets. Part of it is that because of the starvation, all these things are so bad, you can't eat gold and you can't eat silver, and there'll be no means of currency from it because people won't want it. It won't mean anything anymore, as we're seeing. But the other thing is this last article I wanted to show. Biden announces new digital currency that will completely replace paper U.S. dollar within 1 year. So that's another point, that when they go to this, and they're already doing, they already practiced it in November. 12 of the top central banks of the world, including the United States, was practicing trading with a digital currency. But when that comes, you won't need gold and silver anymore, because you won't have paper money. Everything will be a digital currency. It says President Biden admitted recently that the coming New World Order will soon force a digital currency on everybody, which will completely replace the traditional U.S. dollar. So it's not on the side of the dollar, it replaces the dollar. And it says President Biden has instructed the federal government and Federal Reserve to lay the groundwork for a new U.S. currency, a digital dollar that can be tracked and controlled by the government. That sounds not too good. The order further directs the Treasury Department, Office of the Attorney General, and Federal Reserve to work together to produce a legislative proposal to create a digital currency within 210 days, or about 7 months. A digital currency would not merely be a digital version of the existing U.S. dollar, but rather an entirely new currency that would at least at first exist alongside today's currency. Similar to cash, the CBDC would be used to pay for goods and services and would likely be managed by the Federal Reserve, the central bank of the United States. Unlike the current dollar, though, a central bank digital currency would not exist in physical form, meaning you wouldn't be able to go to a bank or an ATM and withdraw it. And I will tell you also, just to confirm this, that we just recently, me and Petra, were at the bank, and basically the bank, it was really, really crowded. We were wondering why it was so crowded, because there was only two tellers, and they said, well, within a month or so, there'll be one teller, and very soon there'll be no tellers, that there'll be no more tellers at the bank, and everything will be done electronically. So we're here, and we better figure out quick how you're going to survive when you don't have cash to deal with. Because you might think, okay, well, I'll just use my credit cards and my banks and all that. I do most of that anyway. No, because you will not be able to get into your bank account without the chip, without the taking the mark of the beast. It's that simple. And this is why Yahweh has given us now more than 7, going on 8 years in our congregation to prepare for this. And you better be doing it. Don't let this time go, especially during the Shemitah now. This is like the oasis in the desert, you could say, that this year Yahweh is giving us the blessing and the time and the resources to do whatever we need to do. And like I said, whatever was disabling you during COVID with the lockdowns and whatnot should show you what you have to change in your life to totally get out of this world. Because it's not going to get better from here. It's going to get worse. And unless you're coming out of it and you're living off the grid, you're going to have a big problem on your hands. So this all comes into, they shall throw their silver and their gold in the streets, and their gold shall be an impure thing. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of Yahweh. So it'll have no purpose. It won't be able to serve any purpose. And just like in Germany, almost overnight in World War II, when the currency collapsed, they were coming with wheelbarrows full of money to buy bread. Can you imagine that? Having a wheelbarrow full of money where the day before you could have bought a house, or the week before, and now you can get a loaf of bread for that. They shall not satisfy their soul, and they shall not fill their bowels, for their iniquity has become a stumbling block for them. And we went into last week and before that, going over the famine. You know, it says in verse 15 here, the sword is outside and the plague is and the famine are inside. You know, Yahweh's given us this time. You know, we see the prices rising. And I can't believe it. Just as we've been preparing, we didn't just prepare for a few months before Shemitah. We were preparing for more than a year. You know, every time we'd see a sale or whatever, trying to get things. And there's many things that we bought, including oil, that now is 3 times the amount of money that it was before all this inflation and all these other things had come up. So this is the day of the wrath of Yahweh. Maybe I'll read one more time. in Isaiah 13. I read this last week, but just a few scriptures here to show you that the wrath of Yahweh and the last seven plagues will come all over the earth, not just in Israel. Chapter 13 and verse 6. How? For the day of Yahweh is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. On account of this, all hands will droop and every heart of man shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain like one giving birth. And they shall be amazed, each man to his neighbor. Faces of flame shall be their faces. Behold, the day of Yahweh comes, cruel and with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land waste. And he shall destroy its sinners out of it. Right? So this is what it's about. That during the wrath of Yahweh, it's not about, he saves his people from wrath at that time. It's the wrath that's coming on the world. For the stars of the heaven and their constellations will not give light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not reflect its light. And I will visit evil on the world and their iniquity on the wicked, and I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and I will humble the pride of tyrants. I will make a man more rare than fine gold, even a man more than the carvings of Ophir. So this is what's going to happen at that time. And this is why Yahweh is preparing us now, giving us eyes to see, and that we could, in faith, be preparing according to his word. Alrighty, let's go back to Ezekiel 7 and verse 20. And the beauty of his ornament, he set it in its majesty. But they made it the images of their abominations and of their hateful things. Therefore, I have put it to them as an impure thing. So what is he talking about? He's talking about the sanctuary of Yahweh. You know, that he made this this beautiful sanctuary where he actually dwelt. And they actually made it into the image of their abominations and their hateful things. Even with the presence of Yahweh there. Verse 21, and I will also give it into the hand of the strangers for a prize, and to the wicked of the earth for a spoil, and they will defile it. And we know what happened to Yahweh's sanctuary when Babylon destroyed it. Jeremiah 52 and verse 17. Jeremiah 52, verse 17. It says, also the Chaldeans broke the pillars of copper that were in the house of Yahweh and the bases and the copper sea in the house of Yahweh and carried all the copper from them to Babylon. 2 Kings 24 and verse 13. Says, and he brought out from there all the treasures of the house of Yahweh and the treasures of the house of the king, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold that Solomon the king of Israel had made in the temple of Yahweh, as Yahweh had spoken. And the last scripture here is 2 Kings 25, 13 through 16. Chapter over. 2 Kings 25, starting in verse 13. And the copper pillars in the house of Yahweh, and the bases in the copper sea in the houses of Yahweh, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and lifted up their copper to Babylon. And they took the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and the vessels of copper with which they ministered. And the chief of the executioners took the fine fire pans and the sprinkling basins, all of gold and silver. There was no weighing of the copper of all these vessels, the two pillars, the one sea, the bases that Solomon had made for the house of Yahweh. So we see that where Yahweh had blessed them with all these things to make that during the time of Solomon, when you look at how much blessings that they had, it was unbelievable. But because, again, of their stubbornness, their pride, their idolatry, Yahweh took it all away. Verse 22. I also will turn my face from them and shall defile my hidden place. And violent one shall enter into it and defile it. He's, you know, defiling the Holy of Holies hidden place, which again did happen. In verse 23, take the chain, for the land is full of bloody judgments and the city is full of violence. And interesting enough, that word for violence is Hamas. So here it is. I was just reading the stories of Hamas, you know, attacking Israel. And they do have, Hamas does not have, I mean, they don't have 1% of the missiles that Hezbollah has. But they do have some missiles that could be dangerous. In any war, anything is dangerous. And I know each time they do threaten on attacking Jerusalem, but we will see. So take the chain, for the land is full of bloody judgments, and the city is full of Hamas. And verse 24, and I will bring the most evil of the nations, and they shall possess their houses, and I will make cease the pomp of the strong ones, and their holy places shall be defiled. So we see that, like I said, this happened in ancient Israel when you know, foreigners came in there from Babylon and Persia and different places, when Israel was taken into captivity. And we're going to see it also today, as when we see this war coming on the earth and we see Babylon falling and we see the European countries, you know, also falling, many of them, we're going to see the same kind of thing. You're going to see floods and floods of foreigners coming into places, you know, and just basically pilfering whatever they can get at that time. Verse 25, anguish comes and they shall seek peace, but none shall be, because it's the time of judgment. It's the time of judgment coming on the earth. And, you know, I know for years in Israel, when I would talk to either government people or, you know, Israelis that I've known there about the Palestinian situation. And whenever there's fighting going on, that's where people talk about it, and especially if there's terrorism and people being killed. But for the most part, when there's not fighting, the Israeli line is always, well, if we have to just continue the way it is, so be it. It's not that bad. I say, yeah, it's not that bad, because they're not living in the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip is more crowded. It's the per square foot, it's the most crowded place on earth, even more than China. So, and you have, you know, a million and something people there, 1.4 million or whatever it is, that have, they can't leave there. They have no passports. They can't come out of there. So they're living basically like rats in a hole, you know, without education, and many times without electricity. And I'm not justifying it, because the terror groups are basically causing it. But it's still the situation, you know, like I've said many times to ministers in the government there, that if they could make the lives of the Palestinians better, then it's in their interest not to cause terror. You know, because then they have something to lose. It's when you have nothing to lose that you're the most dangerous, because you don't care anymore. You know, that you don't have anything. So this is what's happening here. This is what brings the anguish. And they shall seek peace, but none shall be. You know, like when it says, when they say peace and peace and safety, and sudden destruction comes. And, you know, there's spirits that go out in the world, and there's a spirit of war that's coming now, where, you know, when you look after these situations happening, you wonder, why did this have to happen? I'm sure many people did after World War II, to say, why did 50 million people have to die? You know, why did it have to come to this? But it's just human nature. It's man's inability to get along with himself. And like I said, is you think these people are, it's the most educated world we ever had, it's the most technological advanced world we've ever had, and yet when it comes down to solving a problem, it's the same way. It's not dialogue, it's not compromise, it's the strong destroy the weak. You do what I say because I have missiles that will destroy you. And if not, then I'm going to shoot my missiles. I'm going to kill you. And this is the way the world is run, you know, for time immemorial. And now, unfortunately, mankind has used his technology not to develop the cure to cancer or the cure to world hunger, but they use their technology to make bombs that can destroy every man, woman, and child off the face of the planet about 1,000 times over. So that's where the anguish comes from. The anguish comes from that they can't solve their own problems, you know, that only Yahweh can. Verse 26, it says, disaster on disaster shall come, and rumor to rumor shall be, and they shall seek a vision from the prophet, but the Torah shall perish from the priest and counsel from the elders. So disaster on disaster will come, and rumor to rumor shall be. It reminds me of the scripture in Jeremiah where it talks about Babylon, you know, that there'll be a rumor in the land in 1 year, and then there's a rumor in another year, and then governor against governor. But what's interesting in the beginning here, disaster on disaster will come, right? One disaster or another. The word here in the Hebrew is hova. Like the ones who use Jehovah, and this is why we say that could never be the name for Yahweh or Yahovah. You know why? Because it means Yahweh is ruin, Yahweh is destruction. And Yahweh isn't. Yahweh is life. That's Yahweh. His name comes from the word for to exist. You know, to exist, to have life. So, Hova on Hova shall come. So that would never be the name of Yahweh. And just went over this many times in Exodus 3. But just for those who may be new, to show our Creator's real name, Exodus 3 and verse 15. And Elohim said to Moses again, you shall say this to the sons of Israel, Yahweh, the Eloah of your fathers, the Eloah of Abraham, the Eloah of Isaac, the Eloah of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is how I should be remembered from generation to generation. So it is not Yehovah, which is Yahweh is ruin, Yahweh is destruction, Yahweh is disaster. It's Yahweh. Yahweh is life. Yahweh exists. So back to verse 26. Hova and Hova shall come. Disaster on disaster shall come. And rumor to rumor shall be. And that's what you see today. You see all the fake news, the rumors going around. You know, what's happening. And they shall seek a vision from the prophet. But the Torah will perish from the priest and counsel from the elder. So what are they talking about? Well, the priest is supposed to be the one who's teaching the Torah, right? Malachi 2 and verse 7. Let's go to Malachi 2 and verse 7. It says, for the lips of the priest should guard knowledge, and they should seek the Torah from his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. But you have turned out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the Torah. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says Yahweh of hosts. So I have made you a despised and low to all the people, just as you have not kept my ways, but are lifting up faces in the Torah. So you could look at the ancient fulfillment of this from the Levites, right, who were not upholding the Torah. But we could look, like we said, the modern fulfillment of this, of modern Israel, like we talked about, to the Christian pastors all over the world that are saying that, you know, they believe in the Bible and they believe in Elohim and they believe in Yeshua, which they call, you know, by his Greek, the Greek name, not his Greek name, by another Greek name. But they're not teaching the Torah. They're saying the Torah is done away with, and they're saying, you know, that it's not doesn't have to be kept anymore. And we know in Isaiah 8:20, if they do not speak according to the Torah, And the precepts, it is because there is no truth in them. So clearly here, they're being judged because the prophet, but the Torah shall perish from the priest and counsel from the elders, because they're not keeping it. One other scripture here is Jeremiah 18 in verse 15. Jeremiah 18, verse 15. But my people have forgotten me. They've burned incense to vain idols. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the old paths, to walk in bypaths, not on the highway, to make their land a desolation, a hissing forever. Everyone who passes by will be amazed and will shake his head. I will scatter them like an east wind before the enemy. I will make them see the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Then they said, come and let us plot schemes against Jeremiah. For the Torah shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor word from the prophet. Come and let us strike him with the tongue, and let us not attend to any of his words. And that's what they want to say today, right? They want to attack the true servants of Yahweh, who are giving the truth and telling why judgment is coming, because they want to continue to hear lies, and they want to continue to go against Yahweh's truth. But here we see the time is coming very shortly where they are going to be judged for it. And the last verse here, the king shall mourn, and the ruler shall be clothed with despair, and the hands of the people of the land shall be terrified according to their way. I will do to them, and according to their judgments, I will judge them, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. Wow. So, again, going back to last week, this whole chapter 7 is a chapter that's telling the sins of humanity have gone up to the heavens, and it's something that's coming on the whole earth, and the day of Yahweh is coming because of the sins of mankind. And it shows, like we read in verse 19, money, gold, silver, paper money. I know a lot of times for people that are preppers and people that are into believing, you know, what's coming, and you always hear them, buy gold for years, you know, buy gold, buy silver, you know, keep it. Because the dollar is not going to be worth anything. Well, the dollar may not be worth anything. But also, as we see, gold and silver isn't going to be worth anything. Might be worth something a little longer than the dollar. So I'm not saying not to have any gold or silver. But don't put your trust in the gold and silver. Put your trust in Yahweh. Because faith in Him is the only thing that are going to get us through this. And remember, it's Yahweh who's taken His people to the wilderness. And it's Yahweh who says that He will teach us there. He will guide us. And He will lead us through the wilderness the same way many years ago He led the Israelites through the wilderness. So, like I said, we'll be off a few weeks, and then when we return, we will continue with Ezekiel chapter 8, unless something comes up in the meantime that we need to get into, because we do see world news really heating up here in a lot of different ways. And just keep your eyes out. You know, the Bible says, watch and pray, so that they doesn't come on you suddenly. And we need to be doing that. We need to be watching the news and watching prophecy and praying and fasting and seeking Yahweh with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. So, Shabbat Shalom. And until next time, Yahweh bless.